You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
Oh, the stacks of paper I have in my in front of me. Where do we start? You always go with the local news first. That's the lead. So let's do that, shall we? Before we went on holiday break, the biggest story in the city before the statues came down was the Shelby County school system. That story has begun, died off over the holidays, as you figured it would, because school was out and everything that could have been said at that time was said. There was an auditing firm coming in to audit the school system, and they have begun that process. The state ordered 3 years of audits for the county school system following the grade tampering issues. You're likely all familiar with this. I'm not going to go over the whole thing again. Tresvant High School was the genesis of the obvious problem of grade changing. One person over there was, it was all put on her, which seems unfair, but the principal was on the air with us, Ronnie Mackin. Dorsey Hobson, who is the school superintendent, was on with us. And the reporter who has covered this, Jennifer Pignolet from the Commercial Appeal. So we covered our bases, we thought, and nothing has much changed. Except for now, it's officially on the record an investigation and audit by the state. Nothing criminal as of yet. In Atlanta, this same thing began the same way and ended up with 10 or so people in jail for various things. Where this goes, nobody knows. The letter from the auditing people at the state asked the county schools to provide information on who within the district is responsible for entering, editing, or having access to students' grades or the grading system. Well, that's a good place to start. I assume that means that every school, or is it just one person? It can't be one person for 180-something schools. She also requested agendas from training sessions held and all written policies and procedures regarding a grade reporting. They want to know how this is done. In a list of other questions, the people up there, Candace McQueen is the education commissioner. So this is her job to tackle. The questions she's asking seem a little bit elementary at first, but they're the basics, and that's where this starts. She's asking, why does the SES leadership think this problem occurred? Well, you're going to have to answer that in more than two or three sentences. It occurred because of the culture of pressure. These people, they being principals, teachers, and students, all are in the midst of. They have to produce. If the students don't perform, teachers get bad ratings and rankings and grades of their own. That trickles up to principals and entire systems. So that's the answer to that one. It also asks, what is the school's plan to review on a case-by-case basis the transcripts of students enrolled in these systems or in these schools still whose grades were improperly changed? That's going to take a lot of time and digging. They put no deadline on this, but they ask the system to respond to questions as you learn the answers. This is going to go on for a bit. The Tennessee comptroller is also investigating the issues over at Tresvant at the request of Amy Weirich, the Shelby County DA. So there's your hint, indication that the criminal element in this is still being thought about in case that ever comes up. Otherwise, the DA wouldn't be involved. So there are seven other schools being looked at. The total was nine, I think, that Dorsey told us when he was here. So does it stop at nine? Or do you end up with 15, 20, 30, 50, well, all of them?
If they're going to be auditing all the city schools, I guess we're going to get a solid number as these 3 years play out over time. And grade floors weren't mentioned anywhere in the story,
no.
But I guess that comes hand in glove with grade changing.
Yeah.
If some kid gets a 40 and its grade floor changed to a 60 or whatever the grade floor is, it's still changing a grade.
Well, this to me would suggest that if 9 schools are doing it, a lot more are too, just to meet the requirements that the state lays on these people, that they have to have this kind of grade to pass this kid. But this happens all over the place. It happens in other systems. I've talked to other teachers out of this system that are, and this happens all the time. They're all under pressure to get these kids up and out of the way and onto the next level. And if that requires grade changing, well, so be it. And it happens all the time. Usually it is not put on paper. I heard from somebody here of late that they were emailed something by their principal, which said, whatever it takes, pass these kids. Well, she's kept the email just in case.
Good.
So it's not smart to do that. Anyway, that's the update on that situation. Other things locally include a big grant of $500,000 that will build new homes for veterans. That is pretty much the all we know so far, but that's a good thing for these veterans who are coming out of treatment for drugs or alcohol or for rehab of their bodies and have no money and no, you know, no place to live and no future and no job. So that's a good touch. Finally, there's been no news from the VA locally or anywhere else. So we've pretty much given up on having anybody from there speak to us on the record because they won't do it. They don't have the, well, they're just not going to come on any, you know, media outlet and talk about how effed up they are. It's unfortunate, but I don't blame them because it's a mess. And it keeps getting pushed to the back burner because there's so many other idiotic things happening in this government. It's a tragic comedy. Last night, yesterday was, I mean, these news networks and news outlets, this was a fiesta, a bonanza. I went back and forth for about an hour watching some of this stuff that's going on. And it is truly, well, it's unsettling what's going on with this. And this began yesterday. Well, this is just a continuation of what's been going on for a long time. It doesn't matter what your party affiliation is. It doesn't matter who you voted for. It doesn't matter anything except to know that the executive branch of the government of this country is in crisis, in chaos, and it is rearing its head more and more all the time. And the most recent issues, well, was this book that popped up yesterday, but nobody had really heard about. Michael Wolff is a guy that is one of the co-owners, co-founders of this website, Newser.com. He also writes for The Hollywood Reporter, one of those newspapers. He's a journalist at some level. And so he's the guy that had access. This is not made up stuff. I watched enough last night and saw enough people on Anderson Cooper's show, on other shows, that know Michael Wolff and know that nobody knew who he was at the White House. And he requested access and got it because nobody thought it was a big deal. And the guy's walking around. He's making notes. He's going to meetings. He's got all this stuff on tape. There was a dinner in New York one evening. No, in D.C. one evening. Roger Ailes, the former head of Fox News, and Rupert Murdoch, I guess, and Steve Bannon, and this guy, Mr. Wolff, and a lady who was also a writer for this newspaper out in L.A. And they were all there discussing all of this stuff in front of everybody. And nobody ever thought to say this entire thing is off the record. In the news industry, if somebody tells you, look, this is off the record, it is an unspoken, understood That is a statement, a declaration that you don't write about this, and it's been honored for
generations,
a long time. You just don't break that rule. This is off the record. But nobody ever told him that. So this book, The Fire and the Fury, which some of the quotes and some of the things are just, well, they just make your head spin around at the just how abrasive they are, how ignorant these people are, how they really didn't have any idea what they were doing. Mr. Trump had no indication or intention or plan to be president. He didn't think this would ever happen. What he wanted to do, which we have discussed and has been discussed ad nauseum in this country, is he was out there to promote his brand. And boy, did he ever. He never realized it would go this far and that he would strike a nerve among the American people who are sick of politicians. Well, it did. And then this past year, the very unusual things have unfolded in this presidency and continue to do so. Yesterday, of course, denial from the White House. Poor Sarah Sanders is up there trying to deflect. It's disgusting. It's embarrassing. Nobody ever said this. How dare you? How dare you? Okay, if it's not true, if it's not valid, if you can prove it's not valid, then why does Mr. Trump do what Mr. Trump does the best? Sue. Call the attorneys. Let's sue him. He's done that. I saw this number someplace endless times. When all else fails, let's sue them. Well, he sued to stop the book from being published. He sued the writer for defamation of character. If the stuff is true and it's on tape and on, it's not sueable. The book was supposed to come out next Tuesday. The book came out today.
Yes.
The publisher said, screw you. The book is coming out. The book came out. There were lines last night in New York and various other cities buying this book where it sold out wherever it was. It's number one on Amazon. So if there was nothing to hide, and all of this is a bunch of lies, why was everybody up there stepping and fetching to stop this book from coming out? It is more really, really damning evidence of the just the misconduct, the inappropriateness of this entire process and how messed up it is. Steve Bannon, who was his main advisor, for God's sake, and until here of late was going to keep on being his biggest supporter and help these politicians in various states win their races to get more R's up there in the Senate to keep the strength on the GOP and all that was great until Roy Moore got his dumb ass kicked. And so the future of Bannon is in question. This morning, Breitbart, where he works and was a staple, apparently is about to kick him out of the of that little family. But the attempt to block the book only gave it more publicity.
Yeah, that's right. It's like the publisher said, cease and desist. We're going to list and release.
And that's just what they did. This makes this whole thing look even worse than it already does. I'm sure there is a contingent of people. I'm tired of talking about the base because everybody in America is the base. And if you, as the president, are playing your little game to 30% of the people of this country, well, that's a defeat right there just to begin with. Then all this stuff comes out. It is a bit, what's the word, a tabloidian in its presentation. And there are most likely some things that have been embellished out of context. There always are in books like these. Nonetheless, there were people that were there who are coming out and saying, yep, I heard it, he said it. And Steve Bannon, I guess, has a vendetta that nobody really understood. So, of course, the reaction from Mr. Trump is to tweet out stuff, and he gave Bannon some cute new nickname. I don't know what it is. I don't care. But it just continues to show what a mess this is in the West Wing. And it is. Like this man or not, some do, some do not. This is not good. The book is out. It's going to keep coming out. They printed 250,000 books. And I guarantee you right now, there is somewhere some people printing more books as fast as they possibly can. So that was the big news. The other government news, well, the other Trump news, there were two things that are just news pieces that are worth reporting, at least just cause. 2 months ago, a book came out that was edited by Yale University professor Dr. Bandy X. Lee. She is a professor of psychiatry. The book was a compilation of 27 psychiatrists and mental health experts and their takes on the president's mental health. Now, you can call anybody you want to crazy. Oh, he's just a crazy ass. He's an idiot. He's just a dummy. But that's just, you know, everyday slang and, you know, projecting your own, you know, feelings on somebody else and so on and so forth. But and they had hundreds of applicants who wanted to write their assessment of this man for this book. They chose 27. The book came out back late in the fall. It was called The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump. The surprising part, and this story came out and nobody, this was not at all brought up last night. She was summoned and has been summoned to Washington for private meetings with politicians, lawmakers, congressmen, and so on. Over 2 days back in December, she spent time with more than a dozen unnamed members of Congress, and she's going back to do some more of this. The summary that she offered after these meetings is, or what they ascertained from talking to her is, quote, he's going to unravel and we are seeing the signs. The signs, she says, are the continual espousing of conspiracy theories, the retweeting of violent videos, these ongoing tweets about North Korea, which are, what is the word? It's beyond inappropriate. It's ignorant. It is playground and bullying mentality at a really, really bad level. So she's going back up there to talk to more of these people. They tried to keep this quiet, but somebody broke the news. So when you have a bunch of psychiatrists and people like this, this has never happened in the history of the presidency. We've had some nut jobs in there and some incompetent fools, but this old boy is making people extremely nervous. Politicians that work with him, especially. When you there were people on last night like David Gergen, who worked, I believe, as far back as Mr. Nixon. He worked with Reagan. He was an advisor to presidents from both parties for years. These people that they always call experts and bring on, you kind of go, yeah, okay, you're an expert on what? The people they had on last night were not a bunch of losers who wanted to be on television. They were people who have been in the West Wing, in the Oval Office with other presidents and watched how the process is supposed to work. And they find this to be appalling and concerning. And, well, it's kind of scary. The other thing yesterday that maybe is one more of these distraction things that are being used. Jeff Sessions was one yesterday. We'll get to him in a minute. But this story popped up, and it's one more extremist move that is really not reasonable or sensible. In a move that groups and the word environmental always raises the hackles of some conservatives who don't understand the environment. Nature, they have a quick reaction to all BS. It's a bunch of crap, and there's the environment's fine. There is no climate change. Well, That's an ignorant statement. There is climate change, and it comes in cycles. Yes, we're not going to have this discussion over and over again. In a move that's being called radical and beyond reckless, Trump is planning the largest sale on leases for offshore drilling in U.S. history. That means drilling for oil, drilling for natural gas, drilling to make more money for oil companies that don't need it. This thing was announced yesterday by the Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. It would open up 90% of the U.S. outer continental shelf off both coast and Alaska, that's a state, to drilling for oil. It overturns a previous plan by Obama that I assume Mr. Bush also had one that was similar. That would have allowed the drilling in only 6% of the same area. This comes from the Wall Street Journal. The only area spared is one around someplace. Now, the goal is, quote, because we're such a big and badass nation that has to have all the money and all the power to become the strongest energy superpower. We've already got this pretty much knocked. The plan is already facing extreme opposition from tourism groups, environmentalists, and even Republicans who are not pleased by this. The plan poses a, quote, grave threat to seaside communities, the climate, and economies all across the country that are on coastal areas. There's widespread opposition at the local level to drilling expansion. The governor of Florida, Rick Scott, says he will fight this to the death. The plan still faces a year or so of public comments and revisions, during which times areas can be removed from consideration for drilling. This could end up in court, What this is, it seems, on first glance, is one more distraction, diversion, to get people riled up and take their eye off of the Russia investigation, this new book, and all this other stuff. But the continuing need to throw out these curveballs to take everybody's eye off of what's really happening is also a concern. So those are the things that are in the news. This is not anybody's opinion, like, you know, me. These are things that you can watch and look and dig up and read. The other fun one that I suspect is likely just one more distraction. And the Jeff Sessions thing about marijuana that popped up yesterday morning about 10 o'clock. Jeff Sessions is the alleged attorney general. His qualifications for this gig are, let's say, at the very least, are most questionable. He hadn't been around for a long time. The president, Mr. Trump, wants him gone. This came out later on yesterday that part of the problem with the ongoing issue with Russia and Mr. Mueller is the fact that Sessions recused himself from being investigated and interviewed by these people. He backed out and said, I'm not saying anything. Trump did not like that he did that. It makes the whole thing look sketchy, and it falls back on Mr. Trump. But Sessions, being the puss and the redneck dumbass that he is, recused himself, and Trump has never gotten over it. He just hasn't gotten yet in a spot to fire the guy. That may be the next move. So Sessions, in the knowledge that all that's coming down yesterday, pops up with the fact that he's that this evil marijuana, the federal law, blah, blah, is being rescinded, and so on and so on and so on. Marijuana is being used as medicine in around 30 states. It is legal in 8 or 9 states, plus the D.C. area. So this whole thing is idiotic, ignorant, and he's a bumpkin. But he's doing this, again, as a distraction from his own issues and the other issues up there. Sessions' stance has compared marijuana to heroin and blamed it for spikes in violence. Do you not understand How long have we been talking about the severity of the opioid crisis? The deaths of people from heroin and fentanyl and opioids of all kinds. And this little piece he equates heroin to marijuana. Now, you know, we all have our own opinions and our own positions on alcohol, drugs, religion. And that's your private business. And if Sessions doesn't like marijuana, then he shouldn't smoke any. It might open his mind up and calm his ass down. But no, he thinks it's evil like the heroin. He's quoted as saying, this popped up and somebody found this. Back in the 80s, he said that the KKK, quote, were okay until I learned that they smoked pot.
That's what broke him away from them.
You just can't make any of this up. Good people don't smoke marijuana. Well, okay. I suspect, once again, the mayor this morning, I heard the mayor of Seattle this morning say that they will fight this to the death. It's ridiculous. It's ignorant. They're not going to change anything. So this little posturing and posing move by this clown yesterday is going to go nowhere. This is a government that in how many cases do they say, well, this is up to the states. We don't want to get involved. This is your business. It's too much government. Let the states figure it out. How many instances that occurs constantly, as it has with marijuana. Now, federally, it has always been against the law in some theory or theme or piece of paper. But Jeff Sessions thinks it's appropriate yesterday to wander out in front of the podium and discuss the evils of marijuana like it's 1935 again. It's comic, but it's also scary that these are the guys in charge of this stuff. This guy is the top law enforcement dude in America. He runs the Department of Justice, and he's the one saying that marijuana is just like heroin. Good God, somebody get him out of here. So if this was in fact a diversion to take your eye off the fact that Trump is really annoyed with this guy and wants his ass gone, because if you get this guy out of here and bring somebody new into that position, you take Sessions off the board as far as him ever being forced to talk and tell what he knows about this Russia thing. Because he obviously knows too much, hence him saying, I will not talk to y'all. So those are the things that are really the news that are going on around the government of this country. So after I watched all of that stuff and felt my brain kind of melting out of my ears
in protest,
just in shock and dismay and confusion, and the tone that this sets in this country is this kind of crossed my mind. You know, a microcosm of this. You know, as kids, you just kind of inherently are taught that there are you know, foundations of life. There are people that we always respect. The president he's the man. And then the other people in your life that you can always, you know, count on are the doctors and lawyers and firemen and policemen, people that we respect and always look up to. And the president of a country can set the tone for the entire vibe of a country. Like Roosevelt did, well, like both Roosevelts did, like Eisenhower did, like John Kennedy did, and on and on and on. But when you break this down, it's like having a family where the dad is a drunk, and he beats up the wife and beats up the kids and abuses them physically and verbally. And so everybody in the family is always afraid. When he gets home, they start to tiptoe around and worry about what's going to happen next. is dad going to get drunk and beat up mom or be abusive to us and spank us? That is the kind of tone this country has right now. The guy in charge is out of control, and it makes everybody anxious. And if you are still, somehow so devoted and naive about what's happening up there, well, you're in for a rude awakening at some point. This cannot continue the way it is, and something is going to have to give. What it is has yet to be determined. But the people up there are a lot of discussions and concern about this man's mental state and all that stuff. And some of the things he keeps saying, like, where's my Roy Cohn? Roy Cohn was one of the most corrupt, illegal, insane people. He was the lawyer for,
I can't remember.
I just blanked. This goes back a bit, but Roy Cohn was an evil, evil.
McCarthy.
Yes.
How could I space that?
He was the lawyer for Joseph McCarthy, and the guy was a criminal. This is more about Jeff Sessions, and Trump thinks that he didn't want this guy to recuse himself, but he did. And Trump is just now bringing this up again. Let's see. The Times says that Trump felt betrayed by Sessions because he wanted his attorney, this guy, to protect him the way he believed that Bobby Kennedy protected JFK and how Eric Holder did with Obama, their AGs. Where's my Roy Cohn? He said in front of a bunch of White House officials, referring to the man the Times described as Trump's former personal lawyer and fixer, who once served as the top aide for Joseph McCarthy during that lunatic's run and his infamous hunt for communists in the 50s. Strange people to bring up in relation to you, Mr. President. So, ignore it if you want to. It's fine. I think it is worthy of paying attention to what is happening in your government and in your world. And these things will pass because something else as messed up as this will come along. It's inevitable. And something's going to have to give. Now, what it is, nobody knows. But, hey, the economy...
going good.
Wall Street broke more records yesterday.
Unless you work for Macy's.
That's not very good. Macy's, Sears, Kmart, number of stores closing. That's one of the news stories. The other big one we'll save for a bit. If you have a computer and you haven't heard the story about how messed up this is, here's the headline. I pulled off three stories. The security of pretty much every computer on the planet has just gotten a lot worse. The next story, update your software today, period. Seriously, period. This is a serious event, but it's been going on for months. All the big guys have known it, but nothing came out till this past week. The other ugly part that shows you how bad this is, the CEO of Intel, and Intel is one of the big names involved with this because they made the chips, right? In their haste to make them faster but not safer, and then these other companies, Meltdown and Spectre, are the ones that sell them. Well, the CEO of Intel knew about this in November, how bad this was. His name is Brian Krasnick or something. He sold more than $20 million worth of his company stock after being informed of the massive cybersecurity flaw in the chips. He dumped his stock worth $24 million on November 29th. And now everyone knows that every computer And some phones, the possibilities of you having your stuff destroyed are pretty big. That's a gigantic story. If it's true, on the other hand, these chips, in many cases, go back as far as 1995, right?
Yeah.
So that's been 22 years. Why is this just now coming up?
Well, they've kept keep improving chips, and the I'm guessing the more recent chips are the ones that have this flaw in them, down at the hardware firmware level.
Yeah. Well, my Dell is about 7 years old. Windows 10 is on it. I checked last night on the master, the security, it says it's all fine. Updates were run. Everything's groovy. So check your security on your system, and read about this, because this is a pretty frightening thing. Just imagine if everybody's computer suddenly just locked up. There are patches and fixes being made that should be done next week. Somewhere in places across America, people are, frantically, they are sweating and pouring down coffee and shooting up speed.
Typing code.
To get this done. But the downside of that, allegedly, is that it'll slow down your computer by 30%. So that puts the onus back on people like Comcast and those that run your internet to somehow do something to get the speed back up, like maybe charge you more money for faster internet.
Yeah, we'll be happy to do that, and then you can buy our package plan to make sure that your data goes in at the higher rate, since we don't have to worry about net neutrality anymore and that pesky binding on our charging plans.
Well, so in summary, my entire point was, after reading all this last night and just feeling like, man... You know, there's just nothing to say anymore. I went down and got on the Netflix and watched the new Dave Chappelle comedy special. I suggest that that's what you do today or tonight. It's a new hour special. It's hysterical. It is not for the faint of heart if language and things bother you. But if you already know Chappelle and understand how intelligent he is and the things he discusses in this, some are serious, some are funny, but it made me feel better. So you may want to just turn the news off and watch the Dave Chappelle special on Netflix. Really, really funny. And to end this opening bitch fest, the Northeast, have you ever in your life seen something like that? This snow cyclone bomb, but what an incredible mess these people have. And it only gets worse today, because what's there is going to be turning into an ice cube, a big one. National Guards out in 9 states, almost 5,000 flights canceled yesterday. JFK was closed last night still. LaGuardia had begun to get some flights out this morning, but those people up there have no power. There was flooding around Boston. It was in and is a mess. These videos are unbelievable. So if you have family and friends up there, check on them, because they got some issues. We'll do a little break, come back, run down the sports weekend for you. There are the college game, the last big one, Monday night, Alabama and Georgia in the national championship in the Georgia Dome, right there by Alabama. Good times. The NBA Grizzlies play tonight against the Wizards, and tomorrow the NFL playoffs begin. We'll check those things for you briefly. Any emails you've got, love to hear from you, your thoughts. Many of you are very smart. We like to hear your take on stuff. mail@drakeinthemorning.com. We'll do this break, come back, and then get to the fun part, the dumbasses of the day, a little after 7:15. They're coming up after this short break.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.